Jesse S. Tyson. This is our weekend segment. Mm-hmm. It's a little 10-minute, little quip of fun opinions about a question Jesse asked me.
It's my random thoughts.
It's her random thoughts. Uh-huh. And then we bring in some facts now. Some crazy good facts. Mm-hmm. We're talking time and mind-bending facts.
I don't know about that.
So these are my new favorites because they're 10. They're, uh-huh, they're little appetizers, mm-hmm, of the full shows. Mm-hmm. So what is our question today? Hit us with a question.
So this came out of the thought that I was thinking about the first person who inhaled helium and how happy they were when it wore off. Because you got to think that time frame when your voice is really high. Like, is that your world?
Is that it? Am I a munchkin now from Wizard of Oz? Like, that's what I'm going to sound like?
Yeah. Do I sound like a squirrel that has their own movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that moment where that person had it wear off and was like, oh, thank goodness.
Ooh, your big relief. I made a mistake, but my mistake is okay.
Yeah. So that's the thing. That's what I wanted to know is what your oh no moment was. So like an oh no, like, oh, I'm in it. Like, please get me out of this. I hope I have my voice back.
I have an oh no moment every time I start a new construction project. So I start taking down a wall or something along those lines and go, oh no, this is structural. is this going to make us fall to the house fall to the ground? Mm-hmm. I have those no moments every single time.
Oh yeah.
Yep. That's why I go to Home Depot and I chat it up with the associates there.
And be like, hey.
I say, hey, if you were going to take down a structural wall, what would you do? They say, I'd probably hire a contractor, buddy. And you say, but then I wouldn't get my oh no moments.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're so important. Yeah. Well, my oh no moment was Echo Canyon.
Yes.
So there was a time frame, when we didn't have children, where we were canyoneering, and it was like May.
We still canyoneer with the kids.
We do, but I mean, it was just us.
Yes.
And thank goodness for this, actually. I don't know how we would have gotten our kids out. It was like May, so it was pretty warm. Maybe June, even?
No, it was early May.
Oh, was it early May?
Yeah, so yeah, we canyoneer. Yes. For those you don't know, canyoneering is where you go to slot canyons. Mm-hmm. Think of Zion. Mm-hmm. And then you have ropes and wetsuits because it's freezing. Mm-hmm. And you hike down these canyons and you rappel down. Mm-hmm. And some of them we've done where you have to climb up to. But yeah, it's just a little fun. It's like hiking with some technical gear.
Yeah, so you rappel from the rope, you end in a pond.
Yeah, it's actually not that difficult, so a lot of people can do it.
Like our children do it.
Yeah, take a guide, take a professional with you, because it is dangerous.
Yes.
If you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
But yeah, we went 1 year, it was super early in the year, mm-hmm, and it was a very heavy snow year, and there were snow drifts in the canyon.
Yeah, they hadn't melted yet.
And they hadn't melted, and because of the snow drifts, the canyon's so tight, the snow drifts were 40 feet tall.
Yeah.
But then it was starting to melt, so you'd get these little waterfall river runoffs that was channeling out the snow drifts.
Yeah.
So you'd come up for like 40 feet, and then it'd drop down to the canyon floor, and then you'd have to hike up the next one 40 feet, and the side of it would be sloughing off, and so you could look down to the canyon floor 40 feet up, and then we got to a point where it was just impassable.
Yeah, you couldn't straight down.
You could either rappel down this 40 feet to the bottom, but then we're stuck in a little channel, so we actually had a hike out of the canyon,
mm-hmm,
and
just you and I
and throw this little hammer rope contraption that we made, mm-hmm, up these canyons, you know, and then have it hook and then climb the rope hand over hand. It was super scary.
Yeah,
we did yell for about 30 minutes hoping that someone would find us.
They didn't.
Might be a nice little family going for a hike in the back country of Zion. Who knows? Who knows what they're doing back there?
I don't know what we were expecting.
But they could save us.
They could save us.
My favorite thing is I learned a skill. You could take a softball. You drill a hole through the softball. You put the rope through the softball. And then you throw that softball down canyon if you need to get out of a pothole or something fun. Uh-huh. I said, I'm going to throw this softball up this canyon onto this tree, and I'm gonna climb the rope to the tree, and I'm gonna save it. Yeah. This is like superhero stuff.
Yeah.
And I took that softball and I started whipping it around like Thor's hammer, and I went to throw it, and it went maybe a foot and a half above my head. I went, oh, I think we're stuck.
Yeah, I was like, and oh, this might be.
That's
it.
When we started screaming.
Yeah, it started.
But we got out.
We got out, and we used the hammer. The hammer worked way better than the softball.
Yep, hammer worked great. So yeah. Anyway.
And then we got out, so we actually got out, and it took a lot of effort. Because climbing, I don't know if you guys have ever climbed up a rope, but there's a lot of effort to climbing up a rope. So we got...
Even with the right gear,
yeah. So we get up Zion, and we go to the ranger station and be like, hey, Echo's impassable. And they're like, Okay.
Okay, cool. And actually someone in your class, because we were in college at the time, went down the next day or
and they broke
a couple days, and they broke their leg because the snow collapsed on them, and they broke their leg, and they had to be rescued.
Yeah. So I was like, hey, guys.
I know. What are you going to do? Anyway.
So that was the oh no moment, because there was definitely a moment where it was like, ooh, we are really stuck. Mm-hmm. Like, this is really a problem.
And I usually pray at that time. I usually
you did
say,
not pray at all.
I say, dear Lord, if you get me out of this, I swear I will go to church and I will floss my teeth.
Because Jesus cares about your teeth.
He does. So anyway, I got some facts.
So do I.
Let's hear your facts
first. So my facts, the reason why we discovered the voice-changing element of helium, because people weren't in the business of inhaling random gases.
Unless that's your thing.
And but it wasn't really so much that. So in 1919, the U.S. Navy started experimenting with alternative gases for different mixes of it for deep diving.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of... Cause so I think of the poor little diver who's sitting there inhaling the 18-year-old helium.
18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Hey, suck on this tube for a bit. Yeah. Am I expendable? Am I an expendable part of this big naval machine?
Yeah, and then coming up with their little munchkin voice, and then it would be so hard. Anyway, so that's how we discovered that. Inhaling helium can lead to asphyxiation, because what it does is it actually displaces the oxygen. So if you inhale too much helium without enough oxygen to also counteract that, you will pass out. So it's really important that you don't do that.
Okay.
And I do want you to explain, because you're better at explaining these things, where why the vocal cords do what they do.
Yeah, so sound is based on frequencies. So how tight so sound is a wave, right? Mm-hmm. So how condensed that wave is, how tight that wave is, or how long that wave is how the tone is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think of like a subwoofer, it's a big, long, swoopy wave, and it gives you a low tone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the waves are really tight together, it's a high, squeaky thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, helium is way lighter than air.
Yeah.
So as it passes your vocal cords don't have as much resistance, so they can vibrate faster.
Oh.
So the resistance makes your vocal cords vibrate a lot faster, which makes your voice real high.
Mm-hmm.
So if you inhale an inert gas that's heavier than air.
Like sulfur hexafluoride?
Whoa, you even know a name of one of them?
Uh-huh.
There you go. Sulfur hexafluoride.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know where you would get that.
I don't know either, but that's the exact opposite of
you would have a really low voice
mm-hmm.
because it's heavier than air. It's really thick. And so the vocal cords, when they go to vibrate,
mm-hmm.
it's more resistance on the vocal cords, so they have to vibrate slower. And when they vibrate slower, that wavelength is longer, which makes the tone deeper.
Interesting.
That's it, folks. Yeah. Science 101. Me and Bill Nye.
You and Bill Nye. Both of which displace oxygen. So we're not promoting you.
Don't do this. It's so bad for you.
It is. But the whole idea is that, because we don't want you to asphyxiate. That's bad news, Magoose. But the... But being able to, I mean, who hasn't inhaled helium a little bit, right? To like get the little squeaky voice. But this idea of making sure that you're also getting enough oxygen is really important.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. You want to hear my facts?
I do.
All right. So mistakes. We're going to talk about mistakes.
Okay.
So there's a few kind of mistakes. There's a stretch mistake where you're trying to achieve too much and you fail.
Okay.
And so then, but those are good because you find your limits.
Okay.
Okay. Then there's eureka moment mistakes. And they can thought of like the light at the end of the tunnel mistakes when you're attempting something meaningful.
Oh.
Then there's sloppy mistakes. You're just being lazy. There's no need for that mistake. And then there's high risk mistakes where you're throwing caution to the wind in a high risk default situation.
Ooh, that's where you could be a hero.
You could be a hero.
Or fall flat.
Yeah. That's when you're at the poker table and you go all in.
Mm-hmm.
High risk, baby. you could be a hero though. But I've got a cool story.
Mm-hmm.
So during about mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes our mistakes happen just because we're following the herd.
Right.
You know, your oh no moments. You don't think about it and but what you've done in the past or what someone's doing right now, and you just kind of go with it. Next thing you know, it's a big oh no moment for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So during World War II, I don't know who did this, but some branch of the military was trying to figure out how to lose less airplanes.
Okay.
So what they did is when the airplanes came back, a lot of them came back full of bullet holes.
Yeah.
Right. And they were all condensed in certain areas.
Okay.
So you would say, okay, we got a lot of bullet holes in the rear fuselage of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and reinforce that area, right? So it makes the plane stronger because that's where all the bullet holes were going.
Okay.
Well, this one mathematician, I didn't even say his name, But one of a mathematician working for the government says, hold on, wait a minute. Maybe we don't need to focus on those bullet holes because those planes actually came back. And maybe the bullet holes of the planes that didn't were in different locations. And that's why they didn't come back. And everybody said, oh, yeah, that makes more sense. I'm guessing
critical thinking.
I'm guessing the planes that crashed got shot in different areas, and that's why they're not here.
Right.
We don't need to reinforce that part of the fuselage because that plane came back just fine.
Right.
So the way you think about your oh no moments and your mistakes.
Yeah.
So just anyway, there you go.
I like that. I like that it's very critically thinking because you could go along and be like, yeah, let's reinforce this.
Mm-hmm.
But like clearly they came back.
Yep. I like how they didn't talk about this mathematician. Because there were real heroes in the war. And some mathematician sitting there writing with his pencil and pens and papers.
That's the thing with government workers. Oftentimes they don't get named.
I know. It's just so like, sad.
This mathematician.
This guy probably saved so many lives of pilots.
Yeah, exactly.
He deserves to be. I'm going to look him up. We'll talk about him in the next episode.
I like it.
All right. But there you go. So that's your oh no moments, your mistakes.
No.
And everything else.
And a lot about helium.
And a lot about helium and vocal cords. Now you know how your vocal cords work too.
Mm-hmm.
Water cooler talk. Mm-hmm. Cocktail party talk.
Exactly.
So you can just bring up a random fact. When it's really awkward, there's nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
You say, did you know that helium makes your voice higher because of the density of helium compared to air and the frequencies of your vocal cords? And everybody say, why do we invite this person? They listen to this Morning Struggle podcast and they just bring up the randomest facts.
Just ridiculous.
Oh no, they're probably gonna say he's left the party, she's left the party. Invite him every time. They got all these facts.
Give him the guac.
Bring in the guac for them. They get the good guac. All right, well, that's all I got. That's all you got.
That's all I got.
All right, thanks everybody for joining. We'll see you on the next one.